This piece was brought to you by Rolling Press, rollingpress.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
And welcome to No Chefs Allowed. I'm Megan O'Connor in my kitchen in Chicago. And as always on Monday nights, I get to cook with my sister, Trisha Keels, who is with us in Columbus, Ohio, in her kitchen. And hey, Trisha, what's up?
Duck fat up over here, baby. I'm cooking with duck fat today for the first time ever in my whole entire life. And I want to share it with you.
Did you buy duck fat or did you make duck fat?
I got duck fat as a gift.
Oh, wow. Now there's a friend.
I know. Sometimes I look at my life and I think where I've gotten. Really? The fact that someone would get me duck fat as a gift is funny. Why don't people bring me diamonds? They don't do that. which is my birthstone. Just throw that out there. No, so I set up, you know, how Adam, my son, loves to cook, and we discovered that through his culinary homeschool that he really doesn't want to learn how to cook everything. He just wants to learn how to cook desserts.
Yes.
So I set up a ice cream expert to come over and give him a private ice cream lesson because he wanted to make hot chocolate ice cream. That's the idea that comes out of a 9-year-old, hot chocolate ice cream. Anyway.
Okay. And this expert thought that she could actually manage that?
Oh,
so
not only.
She'll bring it on, hot chocolate ice cream. I'm all over it.
Totally. She is one of my favorite no chefs, Tammy Main, and she's from Fearless Flavors Ice Cream. And she didn't think twice. We both actually tried to talk him into something even more exciting, but that's what he wanted to make. Anyway, she shows up for his lesson, and she just said, "I brought you a gift," and it was a thing of duck fat. And all she said to me was, "Put it in your freezer." So that's what I did. And they made ice cream, and we had a wonderful time. Adam loved it. It was great, and the ice cream was excellent. But, so tonight I am doing my own kind of meal sharing tonight, and I say it like that because today's show is about this great new concept called meal sharing, and I can't wait to learn more about it because, honestly, I don't know all the details, but I'm sharing this meal with a friend of mine who loves to cook with me, and she's coming over, and she's bringing half the ingredients, and I'm contributing half the ingredients, and we're making pan-fried quail and duck fat. There you go.
Wow.
Doesn't that sound good?
Sounds delicious.
Yeah.
Delicious. I was just listening to, you know, it's probably crazy for one podcast to plug another podcast, but as usual, I have to tell you that I was listening to idol, The Splendid Tables, Lynn Rosetto Casper.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about duck confit and how to make it and how to, you know, that you don't have to buy the duck fat. You just make the duck fat when you're cooking the duck and then you keep it in its own fat. So I've been kind of looking forward to doing that. Because, in fact, the store where I got my quail, they have they have packages of just duck legs. Like you would find chicken legs. So I was like, huh, now that's what you need to make duck confit because you don't want the whole, you just want the legs. So I'm gonna try it. But we digress. So today is about sharing. Sharing is good. We like to share. We wish our children shared more, but that's how it goes.
Right.
But instead,
we're naming the show Everything I Need to Know I Learned from Meal Sharing.
Yes.
So meal sharing, you want to find out how I heard about them, how I found them?
I do. Sure.
I was working, and I accidentally clicked on my own Twitter feed. It was an accident.
While you were working, I hope your boss isn't listening. Go on.
But meal sharing, I noticed we had a new follower, and it was meal sharing, and even just the name made me want to click on it, which I did.
While you were working, by accident. Yeah, got it.
Anyway, so I get on there, and it's a site for sharing home cooked meals, which of course is like my passion, right? Mm-hmm. And there was a button right at the bottom that said contact us, and it was a chat. And I just started chatting with the woman on the other end, and I think we chatted for 25 minutes while I was working. And I had so many questions, and then the funniest part of the whole thing actually was I was like, well, how do I go to one? And she was like, we actually have one in Columbus. Click on this link. She sends it to me through chat, and I click on it, and it's a friend of mine.
Oh, of course.
She's participated in Columbus Soup and Bread. You've met her, Liz Martin. And it just was funny. I was like, I actually know her. I can just walk over there right now. But so she, Jessica was her name at Meal Sharing, and she was fabulous and really gave me a tutorial, and I was like, convinced that we needed to know more.
Mm-hmm. Well, good.
Yeah, on today's show, we have Jay Savsani. Savsani, am I saying that right?
Savsani, yeah.
And he is the founder of Meal Sharing, and he is going to school us in all things meal sharing and what this new platform is and how we can get involved. Are you excited?
I am. I love the idea. You know, I mean, let's face it, I did a house swap in Paris. I'm all about, like, digging into other people's spaces.
Right. So it's kind of like Airbnb.
I love the idea. Yeah.
Have you heard of Airbnb?
Yeah.
Yeah. I tried to do one when we went to Philadelphia, but it didn't work out. But it's kind of like that, but for food and meals.
Yeah. And your host is there. You know, like with when I house swapped in Paris and Airbnb, it's like you're living in someone else's house. But this is an experience where you go to someone's house and they cook you what they love to cook. And you know, the dinner party includes your host and, you know, personal cook or whatever.
Right. So. And I think it's really interesting because at first I'm like, oh, so then I invite strangers to my house, which let's face it, I'm all for that. But having been part of Columbus Soup and Bread, the event that we run here, and then even hearing about the food swaps and things like that, it is really interesting how foodies like come together and kind of act like they've known each other for years. Have you noticed that?
I think absolutely. Take Eat Retreat as an example, right? 40 strangers become best of friends in 4 days, all around food. But I think, you know, it goes without saying, humans like other humans who like the same thing they like, right? So, you know, it's probably not just foodies. It's also carpenters, and it's also web designers, and it's also gardeners. I know for sure gardeners are like that, so it's... But that said, this idea of meal sharing around food and community and bringing people together who have a shared passion is not only a natural, but sounds like a great deal of fun. There you go.
I just like to pretend that we're special. Can I just have that? That our group of people
is just special. You can live in your own fantasy world as long as you want. I mean, I'm all for that. I always have been.
I get my bubble from our sister Lauren, who lives in a bubble right down the street from our mom and dad. Just get in the bubble and live there. Okay.
Just stay there. Okay. So let's talk to Jay. Let's hear how this whole thing started, like what caused this desire to start this company. I'm sure there's a great story behind that. There always is with an entrepreneur and a new idea, so that sounds fun. Why don't we take a quick break? Oh, are you cooking? Oh, so you're making duck fat. I decided today I'm not having a dinner party, but I thought to myself, well, if I signed up for meal sharing, which I just might.
Which you will.
I probably will.
I'm going to challenge you at the end of the show.
Are you?
Yes.
Spoiler alert, everyone. There's a challenge coming up. So I was thinking, well, what would I do? Like, what would my dinner party be? So I'm just, you know, I like to practice anyway. So I'm just, it's actually sunny and like 40 degrees out. So I'm going to put something on the smoker this afternoon because John and I really love to do pulled pork and stuff like that. And it feels American and I don't know. So we're going to do a little bit of that. And I'm going to try and make a... Not scalloped potatoes, or is that what it's called? Anyway, a potato dish that I've never made, you know, with lots of butter and lots of milk and or cream and lots of beautifully sliced potatoes stacked.
Yeah, that's scalloped potatoes.
That's scalloped potato.
You're confused because it's not coming out of a box. Do they still sell that stuff?
Of course.
What if you did a meal sharing where everything was processed? I think that would be completely, nobody would sign up
for it. No one would sign up for it.
You would be dining alone.
People are passionate about processed foods, so who knows? Maybe there is a group out there. There's a group for everything. Anyway, let's take a break. Let's get Jay on. We'll stop this craziness while I peel potatoes over here, and you wallow in duck fat. So, folks, we'll be right back in just a few minutes with Jay Savsani. Why do we have such a hard time with that name? With Jay Savsani from Meal Sharing. Stay tuned. We'll be back with No Chefs Allowed. Welcome back, everybody, to No Chefs Allowed. I'm Megan O'Connor in my kitchen, getting ready to do a little barbecue this afternoon on this 40-degree but sunny day in Chicago. And as always, on Monday night, I've got my sister, well, not exactly by my side. She's not by my side. She's way far away. But we get to cook together on Monday nights with all of you and each other. So
you paused, and I thought you forgot my name. It's Trisha. I'm Trisha Shields.
I did not forget your name. My gosh, there's time for that, but I'm hoping it's another 20 years or so. But
well, let's welcome to the show the CEO and founder of Meal Sharing, Jay Savsani. Did I get that right, Jay? Welcome.
You nailed it. That's perfect.
Good. Savsani. I'm going to have to say it like 5 or 6 times just so it sticks, Savsani. I find you very interesting, Jay. And
wow, that's kind of like a pickup line. That doesn't really.
It works on my husband. That's exactly where how I started it. No. I do. I find meal sharing very interesting, and I have to say, when I first experienced it, I had lots of questions. So my first question to you to share with our listeners is, what is meal sharing?
So meal sharing is a website that connects travelers and locals over home-cooked meals. So say you're traveling in Madrid, Spain, and you're with friends, and you don't want to go to Lonely Planet or TripAdvisor's best recommendations for an authentic place to eat, you can actually use meal sharing to go to somebody's home and have a meal with them. So you just type in Madrid, Spain, see a list of hosts, and send a meal request to somebody that that seems interesting and is making something that you like.
Now,
then go on over and share a meal. Simple.
Does a person in Madrid, Spain, when they get on there and say I'm available for a meal share, is there a date on that, or they're just saying I'm available for a meal share? Give me a call.
Yeah, basically they're saying I'm available. Let's work out a date.
Let's work out a date. Okay. Can you do it the other way? Can you say I'm inviting 10 people over on March 22nd? I guess you wouldn't know, huh?
The thing is you can send the request with a tentative date, and then the host can say, oh, that works. That doesn't, just to get the conversation moving a bit.
Got it. Mm-hmm. So if I were to put my meal share up there. Let's say I did a quail meal because we're working quail. Megan and I always work with a monthly ingredient, and this month is quail. And I put it up there because I wanted to cook it for someone and have them come in. And they're chipping in, right? So the guests chip in for the meal.
Right. So that's actually something that we launched in Chicago, and we're doing basically a city-by-city rollout. So we have a soft launch going on where hosts can do public-facing, I'm making this on this night, and people can join in and then chip in as well.
Got it. So, but some meal shares, like if I was going to Madrid, Spain, I like that. Let's just pretend that I'm really going.
I try to pretend all the time as well. But
yeah, okay.
I'll
just travel for meal shares. It'll make my itinerary. So there are some meal shares that I can go to where the host is, supplying the meal?
Exactly.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. I thought it was all the chip-in. Okay.
No, that's really cool.
That's
something that we're going to be rolling out as a as an option. So, you know, hosts can do it. If they want to do it for free, they can. Yeah, if they would like to chip in, that's available to them as well.
Today, how's it going? I mean, are people jumping on board?
Yeah, it's been really quite crazy. The last 6 months, at this point, we have hosts in over 425 cities worldwide, with some really, really far off lands where you can get a home cooked meal, and right here in, you know, in Chicago and Columbus, as well. So it's been going really well. We aligned with the founder of Open Table as well, program called Impact Engine. So it's just been, really great. We've been blowing up as of late, as I say.
That's cool. So
yeah,
tell us, okay, so it's blowing up, but how did it get started? Like, how did you even come up with this idea?
I was actually backpacking in Cambodia with my cousin and friend about a year and a half ago at this point. And, you know, we're traveling, we're doing the whole Lonely Planet TripAdvisor thing where we're seeking out the most authentic food, but, you know, we ended up, and I get to know you're from Chicago, so we ended up at the Navy Pier of Cambodia. And so I was like, I did not just travel to the other side of the world just to not meet any locals and, you know, eat at overpriced, crowded, authentic restaurants. And so I made a bold move where I went to the hotel lobby and talked to the front desk manager and said, hey, can you find me a home-cooked meal? And, you know, I thought it'd be met with resistance or this guy's crazy, like, he's asking me to come over. But he was delighted. He said, he was like, absolutely. And so he brought, 15 to 20 people into the hotel lobby, from people off the streets, from people who worked at the hotel, and they're all in the lobby. And at a certain point, they were fighting to have me over. And I was like, thinking in my head, I was like, yeah, you're not that cool. But it was really beautiful to see it. They're, you know, they're fighting to have me over for dinner. And finally, a gentleman named Mr. Pond said, come on over. I live in the countryside, about an hour outside of the city. My wife and I would love to have you over. And so went back to the hotel room and told my cousin and friend, I'm like, we're going to someone's house that we don't know. Let's do this. And so an hour later, we found ourselves in the countryside sharing a meal with Mr. Pond, his wife, his best friend, two kids, and it was awesome. You know, we were conversations ranged from, you know, Pol Pot to Michael Jackson and everything in between, and it was really, really beautiful. And, you know, a lot of pointing, a lot of body language, and, you know, and probably dishes that I still can't pronounce to this day. So yeah. it was perfect. And as a musician as well, Mr. Pond, he busted out this dusty old Casio keyboard, and he ended up playing these beautiful classical Cambodian songs. And so, you know, that really resonated with me as, wow, this, you know, a home-cooked meal was a conduit to so many other, you know, meaningful things and meaningful interactions. And so I came back to Chicago and started getting cracking on making meal sharing.
That's an awesome story and that I'm jealous of. Even the Panasonic keyboard.
Casio.
Casio. Oh, sorry. I just gave
a plug
thing wrong.
Intently. Can you tell?
I'm sorry.
I love that story. I love that story. You know, it is so funny because, I mean, it reminds me of a lunch that my kids and I had in Italy where it was a one-woman restaurant. She did everything, and she cooked a meal. And there were six tables, and we ended up staying and talking with her for an hour after everybody else had left. And she didn't speak a lick of English, and we didn't speak very much Italian. So, those moments are so incredible.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Get her on Mealshare so we can go back there.
That's right.
Yes.
She's probably still there cooking every day in that little restaurant. She was great. But
so after that experience and you came back to get meal sharing started, like what would you say the mission was? Like what is the mission of meal sharing as you're building it?
Our mission, we definitely come from, you know, the social enterprise school of thought where, you know, we really believe that we make the world a better place. And people share a home cooked meal. You know, as cheesy as that sounds, you know, we really believe that, you know, it's a way to bring people together, build community. And a lot of us on the team, we come from the healthy eating side of life. So we definitely believe that, you know, as we create this platform and in scale, as we have more people getting into home cooking, you know, it's healthier, you know, and, you know, sometimes it can be, but historically, you know, healthier than eating out. And so that's kind of where, you know, where we come from.
So an all processed food meal sharing might get denied on your site?
Yeah. We want people to explore their creativity. I don't know if we'd take down a meal where it was Hot Pockets and Cheetos, you know,
they'll
maybe. As long as they're sharing. As long as people are sharing, I guess.
Right. The health benefits of just sharing outweigh the bad Cheeto situation, I think. But, you know,
exactly.
You gotta look at the whole instead of its parts, Tricia. This is bigger than that.
I know. I'm just teasing you. Your box scalloped potatoes just reminded me of that. Okay, so I do want to know, I'm hoping that you can walk, I want to do it. I mean, let's face it. This is like, it's like you started this for me. can you just walk us through, like, what an experience is like as a host? I'm sure you've hosted, have you hosted meal sharings before?
Yeah, I've never done that. No, I'm just kidding. I've hosted.
I'm too busy for that.
Yeah, I've definitely hosted. I usually make Indian food. I actually just sent you guys a recipe. I know Jessica told me to send you guys a recipe, so I sent you guys a recipe of my favorite Indian potato Gujarati West Coast Indian dish.
Ah.
Yes.
All right.
So, yeah. So walk us through a little bit, like, what the experience is like for the host.
Absolutely. So, you know, after posting the meal, you know, and having people chip in, it's, you know, you've already said what you're going to be making, and we leave a little room for flexibility where, you know, it's, we just come from the make what you make concept, which is just on a typical night, what are you making, and share that with the community. So,
and back,
you know,
to the scalloped potatoes from a box. We go.
No, we don't do that. Okay. We're just joking.
Okay, go on. Sorry.
And so, you know, it's in whatever that means. So it's some people, you know, make really gourmet, you know, awesome meals. Like I went to a meal share in Cleveland, Ohio. I hear from. Cleveland is awesome, and you know the host made a like 6-course meal. Actually, the two hosts that I went to in Cleveland, they both made like a 5-6-course meal. So that, you know, that's one host experience, you know. And then another host, I went and had, you know, delicious sandwich, like banh mi sandwiches, and you know, salad. And so it was not 6 courses, but it was delicious, you know, nonetheless, and great conversation. So we definitely just want to reduce host anxiety to, you know, cook a meal and have
it's so funny.
You know, that pressure.
Yeah, it's so funny because, you know, the concept as an American who likes to travel, the concept of going to somebody's house and, you know, eating what they eat and watching them cook the way they cook and with the kind of care, you know, all that kind of stuff is great. But when I think of somebody coming, say someone from, you know, Europe or Asia comes to Chicago and decides to do a meal share at my house, I was like, well, does everybody just make hamburgers? Like, I don't know, you know, like, because so much of what all of us cook is native, is is foods from other countries. You know, it's like, I mean, I could make something from my garden. I could do, there are things I could do, but it's not like, I don't know, I just have this vision of going to Cambodia or Spain or wherever and having this, you know, the flavors of the country. And I think about someone coming here and it's like, well, I could make my grandma's spaghetti and meatballs, but that, you know, I wonder, I don't know.
Yeah, you don't make that for the Italian. But I think you're onto something. Like, you're always doing smoked meats on your yeah. smoker out back. And Atticus is always like, are we having mussels every time we go to your house? So, so you could go that route too. But I like that, how you encourage people to cook the way they cook. So you don't have to be super fancy. I'm wondering, Jay, was the meal share that you went to in Cleveland, was that Michael Simon's house? maybe you were at Michael Simon's.
I'm not sure who that is, but I would love to have a meal with Michael.
Okay, we need to get him on meal share. Yeah, we need to start tweeting him. He needs to get sign up for meal sharing because he would just love to make another meal in his home for other people to taste. I'm sure.
Oh, you love it.
Yeah.
Okay, so as a host, I put my event up there and what I cook, and then. People through the website, people contact me and say, that sounds interesting, let's do it, kind of thing.
Exactly.
And so then we kind of just work out the details. I have a question. How do you get them kind of big? Like, what if I wanted to have a meal share? Is there a number that you're supposed to shoot for? What if I wanted to invite 10 people over? Can I do that?
Yeah. I mean, I've seen people do 10, I've seen people do 20, 25 people on as well. So it's whatever the host is comfortable with. So, you know, some hosts are more on the, let's do, you know, a three person meal share. That's fine for me. Or, you know, some people are like, hey, 12 people, come on over, more the merrier. So we encourage whatever, you know, it's in relationship to space and whatever the host is comfortable with. So, yeah, you definitely have more people.
Yeah, I think, and it seems to make sense, Jay, right? Because, I mean, the whole concept is about kind of this, you know, almost serendipitous meeting. You know, so you don't really have rules. You do whatever seems to work for two people who come together over a meal. I love it.
Facilitated serendipity is what they call it.
Yeah. Yeah, and those moments, you know, I mean, yeah, you're trying to put a package around it a little bit to make that moment happen with a little more comfort, perhaps, or ease. But still, it's the what you're building is these very special, intimate moments between strangers, which is over food. It's really cool.
Cool. Well, let's having said that, let's reflect on that over the break.
Okay.
She used the word intimate, and it just kind of seemed like
serendipitous, and
bring it down a little bit.
Okay.
This is Deep Thoughts with Megan O'Connor. but let's go to break, and when we come back, I'd love, I just want to hear a little bit more about your business and just some of the stories that you've come across through these events. So if you don't mind sticking with us, Jay.
Yeah, good.
Awesome. We'll go to break, and we'll be right back with some more No Chefs Allowed. Welcome back to No Chefs Allowed, our show, Everything I Needed to Know, I Learned from Meal Sharing. We're here with Jay Sabsani, the CEO and founder of Meal Sharing. And he is enlightening us on what this platform does. Thank you, Jay. So now that we know what it is and how it works, I'm totally curious, like, what's the most interesting way you've seen this platform used?
I think the most interesting way I've seen it be used as a woman here in Chicago used it to put her, I believe, 80-person event on meal sharing. It's the food shop out here. I believe it's the most popular one. And, you know, there's just, you know, and what we feel is the Chicago food shop completely complementary to what we're doing. And so, you know, she is able to fill her food swap with our meal shares, and, you know, those food swap people use the platform and then become meal shares, and it's, you know, one big happy family.
Oh, I know. So she used to use Eventbrite, but now she puts her food swap up as a meal share, and people sign up through your platform.
In fact, I did it, Jay. I did it. I signed up. I'm in your system.
Did you sign me up, too?
I didn't. I thought we'd go together because we like to do things together.
No, I do whatever you do.
Right. But if you want to go solo, you can. But I thought maybe we'd make something together.
No, I was just making... Oh.
Okay.
Anyway. Now I got it. Okay. So that's really cool. Have you ever... Okay, so I run a charity event here in Columbus, Ohio called Columbus Soup and Bread. And have you ever seen anyone use this platform for a charity event?
Yeah, we actually... I'm probably going to it. It's actually in Palo Alto. A gentleman named Caleb, he hosts meal shares pretty much every Sunday where from the chip-ins that he collects, he donates to a charity. So I've seen a lot of creative ways of how people use the platform, and I love that. That's fantastic, you know, a meal for charity. It's perfect.
That does sound cool. I'm wondering, my brain is going to, Megan, where every Columbus Soup and Bread event that we have is always threatened by a snowstorm, or at least it was, because Soup and Bread is a winter event, where you could just, instead of having it, just have a bunch of meal shares across Columbus, where people were meeting in other people's houses to avoid...
I don't know.
I don't think that would work. I'm brainstorming.
Yeah, that's okay.
No idea for that one.
That's right. Especially not when everything we needed to know is learned from meal sharing. When we're in that mode.
So they seem like, as Megan used the word, intimate events. And you go to them. Like, what's the most interesting conversation you've had in a meal share? The most interesting story or interaction or something that you just were surprised you got to experience? Besides the Cambodia one, which I have to assume is, like, the ultimate.
That is the ultimate meal share, I guess you could say. I think my favorite story is, you know, myself and our team, designer, coders, you know, we're sitting behind code and designing, and, you know, and at a certain point, this was probably about 5 months ago or 4 months ago, where, you know, I get a little bit frustrated where I was like, no, I'm like, it's like, we made meal sharing because we love it and we need to get out there and do it a lot more. So I told everyone at the company, I was like, we're going to hop in my car, pack your bags, 24 hours. And we actually sent our first meal request in Cleveland and just hit the road. And so we ended up doing that for about a month. We were basically only eating through meal sharing. And we went across the United States. We ended up in New York City, to Baltimore, to Raleigh, North Carolina. It was really crazy. And we met so many new people. That's actually where we met Liz in Columbus, Ohio. So we actually had about, I believe, 3 meal shares on that road trip in Columbus, and then 3 meal shares in Cleveland. Ohio gets meal sharing.
We're really friendly people,
right,
man. We just come on in. Come on over.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
so it was a meal sharing road trip. That's so cool.
Yes,
that sounds like a family vacation waiting to happen over here.
Totally.
Get in the Winnebago and just eat at other people's houses the whole way across the country.
That poses an interesting question. Do any of these meal shares include kids?
We went to ones where they would have, you know, teenage kids, toddlers to grown kids. I think for a lot of parents, it was just like a good way to expose them to you know, a new way of thinking, which ultimately I don't really believe is that new. I feel like, you know, meal sharing is just kind of built on an old paradigm that we all kind of used to live by anyway. So it's nice that parents take the effort to be like, hey, like, you know, share, meet new people, like, and so that's what we saw a lot of kids in meal shares as well.
That's cool, because I would kick my kids out just to participate, but it's nice to know they can stay.
There are no rules, Tricia. It's all serendipity, remember?
Yeah, you're right. That's so cool. Well, Jay,
because really your backyard restaurant is kind of like the ultimate meal sharing, you know, I mean, that event. So Trisha and her son, well, actually the whole family jumps in, including myself, but to do a backyard restaurant one day in the summer. And, I mean, it's the same kind of thing. People say, I'm coming. Actually, last year they were waiting in line.
Yeah, we ran out of seats.
Yeah, cooked the food. You know, it really, it's the same concept, but actually you should probably do it on this platform next time.
I should think about that, because we ended up, we get fans and all the kids in the neighborhood become
the waiter
who, yeah, run the restaurant. So they just have a blast owning the restaurant, and we have fun watching them do it, and the whole neighborhood comes out, the entire neighborhood. No. And then what we do on that is it's a chip in. I mean, my son does the menu and the prices, but all the money goes to charity. So it's just a really fun neighborhood thing. And you're right. It is kind of like the ultimate meal share, and I could mm-hmm. probably use your platform. Speaking of your platform, though, I'm publicly challenging Megan.
Oh, yeah? What?
To doing a meal share within the next month for April's Ingredient Challenge.
Dun, dun.
What do you think?
Sure.
So we'll both sign up.
Sure, I'll do it.
Cool. We'll both sign up and gear our meal around our monthly ingredient that we'll announce in April and put it out there, and hopefully we'll get some really interesting people to come to our meal share. Jay can come to yours.
Can I get an invite?
I know. I can get the founder, the man with the plan, the dreamer.
I'm going to be there. I'm going to make it happen. I want to come to your meal share.
Wait till you find out what the ingredient is.
Yeah. No, it should be good, but I think this will be really fun, and then we can walk through the whole process and really get to know it and start using it. So
yeah.
If you're in, I'm in.
I'm in.
Okay.
Cool.
Okay, one last thing, because when I was talking to Jessica at Meal Sharing, she told me something about a meal share Guinness Book of World Records. Can you leave us with that story?
So that was actually in conjunction with a group out in the UK called the People Who Share, and their goal happened to be, you know, let's go for the Guinness Book of World Records for the most meals shared in a single day. So they brought us on board to help them reach that goal, and then another group out in the UK as well. And you know, it ended up, I don't know if it was the official Guinness Book of World Records, but they said it was a world record of most meals shared in a single day, and that was pretty exciting. Yeah, that was about a year, about 8 months ago. So that was exciting. You know, we had a meal share going on in Chicago.
Jay, you need to get your, you know, we need to have National Meal Sharing Day.
Ooh.
I mean,
yeah.
Let's
you ought to be able to get it. I mean, there's National Everything Day. You can. You know, I don't know what the paperwork is, but I say you go for it now.
That's so funny because I'm trying to get National Ta-da Day started, but I haven't had any success yet. But I think yours might stick.
we need to combine both those days into Ta-da Day and meal.
Yeah, everyone, you have to say ta-da after you do the dishes after your meal share, because it's an accomplishment. Ta-da! Oh, go ahead. What were we saying?
Oh, no, I was just saying that both, yeah, but that is, you know, saying complimentary. Goes hand in hand.
That sounds good. Jay, thank you so much for taking the time to come on and, like, walk us through everything that meal sharing is, how it started and how to use it. And so how do we get involved? It's mealsharing.org, right?
.org or .com.
.org or .com. So if you go to mealsharing.com, you can learn more about what they do, and you can join and sign up, and you can look for people who are meal sharing in your area or where you're traveling. So check out their site, and don't be afraid to use the chat button because they're totally friendly.
They're sharing kind of people. I love it.
They are. Yeah. They are. It's awesome. Jay, thank you so much for being with us today.
All right, Jay, I'll be in touch once April comes around. We'll get you over here.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. You have a good one.
Yep, you too.
All right, Tricia, so challenge is on. So April ingredient challenge is going to include strangers for our dinner parties. I love it.
Yes. I'm really excited, too. I'm counting the chairs around my dining room table and wondering if I need a new dining room table.
Usually we end up buying things like a new spatula, a skillet, maybe a can opener. But this time, Tricia's going to buy a new dining room table to satisfy our monthly ingredient.
I'm looking at my table and I'm like, mine might have to be BYOC, bring your own chair. No, I think I can handle it.
All right.
I really dig this concept. I'm excited to give it a shot, like to walk through it and live it as a host and see who comes to my door.
Yeah. I you know, as much as I like to cook for a crowd, I'm more excited to show up at someone else's house. I mean, I am. I like that. I like that adventure of food, and especially when you're traveling. So I hope it continues to grow and grow and grow and grow so that wherever my travels take me, for work or for play, that, you know, you could experience meal share.
I'm going to invite no chefs allowed except Chef Brian Goodman to my meal share and see if he comes.
Okay.
I'm doing it.
All right.
It's just a short 3-hour drive down here.
Yeah.
Anyway. Megan, good luck with those scalloped potatoes from a box. enjoy them. Don't eat them right out of the box. They're like dehydrated potatoes.
We don't have a box. I've been peeling potatoes this whole show.
I know.
Okay, and you enjoy your duck fat. Nice evening.
You know what else I learned, though, really quick from the quail monthly ingredient challenge is how to butterfly the – gosh, I don't even know if that's the right word. I should look that up. But I've always wanted to, like, butterfly a chicken, but it seemed like such a huge deal. So when I picked up these quail and realized they were so little, it was an easy way to practice. So we butterflied them, and they're going to cook up really fast. But now I'm thinking I could butterfly chicken and grill it on the outdoor grill. And that's what the monthly ingredient challenge is about. You learn little by little and add new talents to your profile. And then you go, ta-da!
At the end of the month, every month, you give yourself a ta-da.
Exactly. Well, get back to those potatoes. Have a great meal. I'm going to keep working on this because our guests are going to be here soon. And I look forward to seeing how your meal share turns out.
All right. Me too. Me too. All right, Tricia, I'll talk to you next week, if not before. So, folks, thanks for joining us today. We'll be back next Monday. In the meantime, feel free to check out mealsharing.com as well as nochefsallowed.com or follow us on Facebook and Twitter at nochefsallowed. But we'll be back next Monday at our regular time with our regular show. So until then, goodbye from No Chefs Allowed.